Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and I especially want to thank Teresa for her support, and we'll send along access to the premium site as we do with all donations of $7 or more. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Tears of Night Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
I'll take that wise guy. Mr. Frankie Scanlon. Yeah, I'll tell him. What was that you yelled on the phone?
You heard it.
I heard you say Johnny Dollar.
I told you a long time back I wasn't Hillary Fuchs.
You told me a lot of things.
If I'm going to see Costigan, trot him out.
Just open the door and walk right in. I'm right behind you, see?
Hello, Sam.
Johnny Dollar. What's he doing here, Frankie?
You mean this isn't Fuchs?
Get out of here! Get out of here before I throw something at you!
You heard the man, Frankie. Blow.
No, sit down, Johnny. I won't bother shaking hands. You tried to put me in jail the last time we met.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Location, Miami Beach, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, 518 Spear Boulevard, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Tears of Night matter.
I'm going to sit down here behind my desk and have a drink, Johnny. And while I'm having it, I'm going to ask you a question.
Save your breath. I'll answer it anyhow, Sam. Sam Costigan sat hunched behind the big mahogany desk, glaring at me with a pair of small pig eyes half hidden in a beefy red face. Both hands rested out in front of him, flat. I told him how I'd come to Miami Beach to look into an insurance claim made by Elise Wendover, how I'd been in the office of Hillary Fuchs, her business manager, when Frank Scanlon had walked in, mistaken me for Fuchs, waved a gun under my nose, and insisted I come with him to see Costigan. So here I was, and so what about it?
Help yourself, Johnny.
Well, that's a pretty nice joint, Sam. How long have you been in business in Florida?
Oh, about 2 years.
How's the gross?
Isn't as good as running beer in Chicago, but them days are gone forever. I make out all right. 2 crap tables, 2 roulette tables, a couple of games. The bar and restaurant break it up even. Man, I gotta be careful.
Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Well, you seem to have enough muscle outside and around to keep you comfy and cozy.
Yeah, punks, all of them. Look at that Frankie Scanlon who dragged you over here. Crazy, that one. But he's the best of the lot, the best I can get nowadays. Not a good muscle left in the business.
You could retire.
Yeah, I might do that one of these days. No. Tell me about your hookup with this Wendover dame, huh?
No hookup, Sam. She claimed benefits on her husband's life insurance. The claim should have been made 2 years ago. I investigated. It's okay.
Made it?
Yeah.
Screwball, huh?
In some ways. She's all right.
Well, maybe it's as good you're here as this Fuchs guy. I wanted him to handle some business of hers, but maybe you can handle it. Yeah, you ever see this before?
No.
Oh, it's a little bit of necklace called the Tears of Night. It's worth a big hunk of cash. These 4 diamonds are good stuff. Your friend Miss Wendover left it here a week or so ago when she went for a plunge at the roulette table. Anything to say?
It's a very pretty necklace, Sam.
Okay. We both know she's screwy, a widow with a lot of dough, and a boyfriend named Teddy. Teddy Davis, he paints. Well, she sent me a check for the 5 G's she lost that night, and I wanted Fuchs to take this thing back to her, but now I got you instead. I want you to take it to her, huh? How about it?
Is that all?
That's all. I got my dough, she gets her tears of night back. I couldn't trust any of my punks with it, and I don't like to be seen in public, so you just take it back, huh? It's very simple. Why?
Don't ever go on the stage, Sam.
Why not?
You can act, but you can't lie. You just can't lie at all. And it takes a good liar to be a good actor. Now that you've told me how simple it is, suppose you give me the unexpurgated sequel.
All right, so a check bounced.
Oh, stop it, Sam. She can't issue a check without a countersignature by Hillary Fuchs. He hasn't issued one check on her account since he took it over 10 days ago. So if this thing is hers, explain it all to me, will you? The way it is.
I want another drink. Yeah, you're right, Johnny. There wasn't any check. Miss Wendover called me a couple of hours ago and said if I didn't have this thing back to her tonight, she'd call a load of cops and come out and tear us the joint apart. She sounded like she'd do it, too. I mean, well, you met her. You can't tell what she'll do from 1 minute till the next. Screw her, you know?
Not so screwy if she dropped $5,000 and left that. And now she gets it back for nothing.
I just want to get it off my hands. If she came out here with a cop, I'd be closed for the season. And I'm getting old. You know where she lives?
Mm-hmm. I was there earlier tonight.
Here, take the ice store and I'll chalk it up to experience, huh? Then you can grab a cab back and come on back out here and I'll see that you have a good time on the house. How about it?
I'll take it to her, but I won't come back here, Sam.
Oh, Skylon Feely, them guys, huh? They worry you?
You do.
What?
I don't believe your last story either. The only thing I believe is that this is Mrs. Wendover's necklace. So I'll take it to her. Sam.
Yeah?
You better get someone beside Feely at that table after this.
You're telling me.
He was mopping his face when I closed the door and went downstairs. By that time, the customers had started to roll in. Young, fresh-faced men with sallow eyes and quick movements, anxious to step up to the tables and lose money. Women in strapless dresses, anxious to show off their newest suntans and help whatever man they were with lose money. Old men, old women, dressed to the teeth. It was a sick old scene from a sick old play. Expense account item 4, $6. Cab fare from Sam Costigan's gambling club to Elise Wendover's apartment.
Oh, Teddy, I thought you'd never get here. The performance begins at 10 o'clock, and you know how the traffic is, and if we're going to have a bite to eat. You aren't Teddy at all, are you?
I'm afraid not, Mrs. Wendover.
Where's Teddy?
I don't know.
Oh. What are you looking at?
Your throat.
Really, Mr.
Dollar. Johnny Dollar. I met you in Hillary Fuchs' office. We talked here later on. Remember?
Of course I remember. Well, really, Mr. Dollar, I'm only waiting for Teddy to come by so we can make the first show at the plaza. I better telephone him, don't you think?
Yes, you do that.
Good night, Mr. Dollar.
The white ermine cape she was wearing and the black strapless thing needed a final touch. She had it. A diamond necklace. In fact, the Tears of Night, the one I had in my pocket, was hanging around her lovely neck. Downstairs in the good light of the lobby, I snapped open the necklace case. Mortuous, it read. House of Jewelry. A gloomy word with a gloomy address. The sign on the window of the House of Mortuous gave a phone number in case of emergency. Item 6, 10 cents, one phone call about my emergency. I made it vague to Mr. Mortuous that thousands of people might die before 6 o'clock in the morning unless I could talk to someone about a piece of jewelry. It went over. Item 7, 50 cents, cab fare to the Sandy Beach Hotel on the less expensive side of Miami Beach.
You find me a bit indisposed, Mr. Dollar, but on the phone you said it was a matter of jewelry. Therefore, Hannibal Mortuous is at your service. Now then, sir, what is so urgent?
I came to ask you about a diamond necklace. I found your name stamped on the inside of the case.
House of Mortuous. A most respected name in diamonds as well as all the lapidary arts. Most respected. Fine jewels and the name Mortuous are... Oh, I do beg your pardon. Continue, Mr. Dollar.
I want you to take a look at this.
And how, sir, do you come in possession of the Tears of Night?
A man named Sam Costigan, who runs a gambling club, asked me to deliver it to a lady named Elise Wendover. Do you know her?
A lovely body propelled by a ridiculous mind. This matter you have just described bears me out. For shame, such conduct. A gambling house. The Tears of Night, a pawn. Blech.
Then this is the real thing. It isn't phony.
Mr. Dollar, I'm a gemologist. The House of Mortuus. Of course it's real.
Take a good look.
When an artist creates a dazzling thing of beauty such as this, would he be so unlikely as to forget the time, the patience, the agony of his creation, eh? See here, look here, under the light. 4 weeks, Mr. Dollar, 4 weeks working night and day just to drill that anchor for a simple molding. But ah, see how each stone is carefully mounted to capture every single pinpoint of light. Beautiful, beautiful. An incomparable masterpiece. For the money.
Well, I'm just curious, Mr. Mortuus. How much money?
About $10,000 on the wholesale market.
What did Noah Wendover pay for it?
$25,000.
I saw another one just like it tonight.
Ridiculous. The finest workman at best would only create a crude resemblance. This kind of artistry demands an artist, Mr. Dollar. And I am that artist.
But it could get by, a copy of it.
To the unpracticed eye, to the layman perhaps, yes. Latet in anguis herba, Latin.
Yeah, well, all I know is Agricola.
A snake in the grass, eh? Something wrong?
Yeah, mildly put, something wrong, yes. Well, how much do I owe you for your time, Mr. Mortuus?
Well, nothing, nothing. It was my pleasure. You know, glancing at that again reassures me of the value and dignity of my work. Anywhere, it is magnificent. But I dawdle. You say something is wrong. What?
Mrs. Wendover, you say you met her.
Several times.
She ever mentioned anything to you about a curse?
Curse? Curse? No, I can't say that she did. May I ask you a question?
Yes, sure.
Are you a friend of hers?
In a way, off and on.
I know what you mean. One is never quite certain with Mrs. Wendover whether one will be recognized or not, is one? Well, it's late.
Yeah, well, I'm just leaving.
No, you misread me, sir. I wasn't speaking of my own comfort. I noticed the fog has come in. It is dark outside. This is a lonely area. That is a valuable object. Are you armed?
No.
If you are at all concerned for the safety of that piece, I have a small safe in my rooms. You may have the key if you'd care to leave it overnight.
I'll take it with me.
Yeah. Just as well, probably. Suggestion only. You will leave satisfied, I trust, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mr. Mortuus.
My pleasure, Mr. Dollar. remember, omnia mortuus bonum vocal est. All speak well in mortuus. A pun, sir, a pun. Good evening.
Downstairs in the dismal lobby of the Sandy Beach Hotel, I looked out beyond the dirty glass windows to discover that the fog had indeed come in and surrounded the area with a choking darkness. The concern of Mr. Mortuus for his artistic creation told me to bang on the night bell and ask the night clerk for some wrapping paper and 50 cents worth of stamps. Expense account item 8. Item 9, phone call for a cab. Just before it arrived, I dropped the tears of night, addressed to myself at my hotel in the lobby mailbox. I don't think the two hoodlums waiting outside saw me do it. I didn't think they saw me at all. But they followed my cab when it took me back to my hotel. Johnny Dollar.
Your number is ringing, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, thanks.
Hello?
This is Johnny Dollar.
Dollar? I thought you went back to Hartford.
I meant to, but I got tied up in Mrs. Wendover's business affairs again.
What now?
Can you come over to my hotel right away?
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
I know it.
Well, can't you grab a cab and come over here?
Hardly.
Why not?
A couple of Sam Costigan's boys followed me here. I think they might like to do a little target practice on me.
Oh.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, 518 Spear Boulevard, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Tears of Night matter. Expenses continued, items 10 and 11. $10, scotch and soda, plus a pitcher of ice and glasses. I had them filled, chilled, and waiting when Hillary Fuchs knocked on the door of my room. His eyes were still puffy with sleep, and he had a trench coat thrown over his pajamas.
What's this all about, Johnny? You said Mrs. Wendover, somebody followed you, what?
I want you to tell me what you can about the Tears of Night.
The Tears of what?
Tears of Night, a piece of jewelry owned by Mrs. Wendover, a necklace, 4 diamonds on black onyx, silver chain.
What the devil would I know about something like that?
In her accounts, her bills, her property? You're her business manager. You must know something about it.
I never heard of it. You better straighten me out.
Try some of that.
This is all too fast for me.
Okay, I'll bring you up to date. I came here day before yesterday to investigate Mrs. Wendover's claim as beneficiary of the death of her husband. She forgot to file it for 2 years. Now, you explained why. I bought that. It's a legitimate claim. But I didn't buy her story about being cursed, or I didn't buy your idea that she was on the verge of blowing her top. No, I'm not so sure.
I'm just along for the ride.
Well, you left me in your office last night. A little while after you left, a man named Frank Scanlon came in and stuck a gun at me and said Sam Costigan wanted to see me.
Costigan, the gambler?
The same. Scanlon thought I was you. He took me over to Costigan's place.
What's this got to do with insurance?
Nothing. But it has something to do with Mrs. Wendover. Costigan had a necklace, the Tears of Night there. He said Mrs. Wendover left it as a pawn a week or so ago.
Oh?
He told me Mrs. Wendover called up and threatened to come out with policemen unless Costigan returned it. And as long as I was there, Costigan asked me to take it to her. I went over to her place, and what do you know? She was wearing the Tears of Night.
I don't get this.
Well, have another drink. Neither do I. By the time I got there to her apartment, Mrs. Wendover hardly remembered my name or that we'd met in your office. She was waiting for her boyfriend to show up. Incidentally, his name's Teddy Davis. Is he after her money or what?
Search me. I never met him.
Well, I skipped out of there and looked up the jeweler who'd made the necklace, a man named Hannibal Mortuus.
I heard of him. He speaks Latin or something.
That's the one. He told me the necklace I had was the real thing. Now, I want you to tell me who made up the one Mrs. Wendover was wearing.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, it had to be made up sometime within the last week, and you've been handling her business affairs.
I don't know a thing about it, Johnny.
All right, come here. Take a look. Do you know anything about those two birds outside there?
No.
Well, one of them's a character named Feely. He works for Costigan. The other one I saw at Costigan's club. They tailed me from Mortuus's place. Probably been on me all night long since I picked up the necklace.
Where is it now?
I mailed it to myself from Mortuus's hotel.
Those two out there, you better call the police if you think they're after you.
Oh, nothing I could tell the police that would hold them up half a second. Mainly, I wanted to ask you about all this before I went on with it.
What do you mean, go on with it?
Go back to Mrs. Wendover, to Costigan, find out what's real and what isn't real?
This isn't your line of duty. Why?
Oh, I've been thinking about that. I don't know why. Maybe it's Mrs. Wendover, those eyes of hers, and that talk about the curse. I got a feeling she needs help in this matter. Somehow, she needs help.
What can I do, Johnny?
Go to bed. I'll let you know what happens. Now, where's your car?
In the parking lot back of the hotel.
Give me the keys. I'll use that.
Hey.
Make yourself at home, Mr. Fuchs. Go to bed here. Oh.
Yeah?
Every now and then, walk over and look out that window and have a drink. They'll think it's me, and that's a good thought for them to have.
Okay, what else?
Well, if they start for the lobby, call downstairs and have them send up the house man and get the police. I don't think they will, but remember that.
Well, why would they want...
They still think I've got that piece of jewelry on me. We shook up another drink, and I borrowed Fuchs's trench coat and left. I found his green Chevy without too much trouble, since there weren't too many cars out in the lot that time of morning. I looked at my watch, and it said 2:35. I drove around front past the two hoodlums, still keeping up their silent vigil, and found a street that looked familiar. 20 minutes later, I was in the parking lot beside Elise Wendover's apartment building. It was still dark, still foggy, and too late, I found out, too crowded. Somehow, the pair of hoodlums were waiting for me after all.
Hey, this is him, Feely. Got a match, Dollar?
Toby asked you if you got a match. He's a dummy, Toby. Don't answer.
Got a match, Dollar?
What'd I tell you? He's a dummy boy.
You don't look like no dummy boy.
You're nearsighted.
Take your hands off.
He's a dummy, all right, ain't you, Dollar? See, Toby? I told him about you being nearsighted and he wouldn't answer.
He don't talk.
Go on, smart boy. Tell Toby how sorry you are about him being nearsighted. Talk. I heard you talk before. I told you he was a dummy.
Hey, tell me something, dummy. All insurance guys like you.
Toby asked you a question. He wants to know if all insurance guys are like you.
I don't like him.
He asked questions and he ain't told us nothing.
Hey, maybe we find out something we went through his pockets, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Even a dummy's got pockets. Ain't that right, dummy? Hold him, Toby.
Yeah. All right, boys, you played the scene good, and I'll see what I can do for you, but I haven't got the necklace.
Hey, he talks.
Yeah. You make him talk again, Toby.
Now, don't make him talk too much. We know if the stuff ain't on him, it's in his room. We can pick it up anytime.
That's it. Easy, Toby, easy.
Oh, he talks real nice, Feely, but he don't say much. Hey, you think maybe he's tough?
Could be.
No, I wasn't. And I didn't feel like talking in that quiet little parking lot where the only noise was them pounding on me. I told them I didn't have the necklace anymore, but they didn't care about that. They wanted to find out the hard way. The hard way for me. I remember trying to wake up a couple of times. I dreamed I was driving along in a big Cadillac. Frank Scanlon was on one side of me, Sam Costigan on the other. Hannibal Mortuus was in the front seat. He had his jeweler's glass out, looking at the Tears of Night. I tried to see who was behind the steering wheel, and I gave that up because the steering wheel was a roulette wheel. Then we had a blowout, and the whole car vanished with everybody screaming, Demortuous, Demortuous. Somewhere around 6 in the morning, I began to get a feeling, several feelings, and all of them hurt. It just turned dawn, and I rolled over on my side to watch a man who hadn't seen me step into his car with a fresh shave and a fishing pole, pull out of the lot and disappear. Somewhere, vaguely, I heard the sounds of early morning traffic. Streetcar clang somewhere. Nothing much happened for a while. Then it came to me it might be a good idea to get on my feet and find a telephone and get hold of a doctor and see how long I had to live. Somehow I managed by holding onto a fence and stumbling against cars to make the front entrance to Elise Wendover's house. I made the elevator, self-service my way up to the 9th floor and staggered toward 913. I would have been better off in the parking lot. Elise Wendover was there, sitting in a large chair by the window. She still wore the black strapless dress and ermine piece she'd had on the night before. The drapes were drawn, the door was slightly open. Light from the hall seeped in. She had a telephone on her lap. The receiver was off, held idly in one hand. She looked at me. But she was looking at nothing.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, it's you. You've been in an accident. You're hurt.
I don't think you'll need this.
Oh. Well then, Mr. Dollar. Well then, I suppose you've met some people tonight who know a great deal about me.
A gambler? A jeweler?
Did they tell you about Teddy Davis? He's really a dear, Mr. Dollar. Quite the nicest boy I've met since Noah died on the boat. Noah and I had so many things together, Mr. Dollar. I do think he enjoyed being alive with me. I mean, I cried when Noah died. I really did. I cried. Like a little baby. Of course, I cried when I heard my brother was killed in Korea and when Daddy died in his office with a heart attack. I shouldn't really cry anymore. I mean, after all, I am cursed. I told you that.
Yes, I told you I didn't believe it. There's no such thing.
But there is. You'll see.
Mrs. Wendover.
No, I have Teddy. He's really a dear. I do think he will be a very prominent artist someday. He paints. You know? Teddy asked me to marry him tonight.
That's nice. You marry him.
And Teddy isn't interested in my money. Could you believe that? What is my mom? I can't seem to get my tongue adjusted to my mouth. Did that ever happen to you, Mr. Dollar?
Yes, sometimes.
Perhaps I should see a correctionist. I'm glad you came by again, Mr. Dollar. I told you once that sometimes it means an awfully, awfully lot to speak to someone. Mr. Costigan.
What? Lee. What about Mr. Costigan?
Later. I know it must be strange to you, But some people live for nothing but money, and some people die for it.
Stop it! Now tell me what's happened. Tell me what's happened so I can help you.
They do look so funny. They're so very funny. I've seen them count money so often and so much money, and I really believe that it's honestly all they live for. Only.
She pointed across the darkened room. Her black eyes glistened with no semblance of reason left in them. It took me 5 seconds to find the light switch. Stretched out on the floor of her apartment, they look funny, all right. Feely and Toby, Both of them as dead as you can get.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, the tears of night come home. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, as we listen to this show, when I was talking previously about it may have been a matter of the shows that were original stories being a little bit more humble in their approach to Johnny Dollar, I think we can throw that out the window because I recognize that this is actually derived from a script by E. Jack Newman for another show. Now, I'll tell you what the other show is on Friday, but at any rate, this serial's going fairly well. And I'll just go ahead and turn over to listener comments and feedback. And Teresa comments, I really appreciate your show. It reminds me of the times my mother and father and what they might have listened to when they were growing up. Please keep up the great work. It's well appreciated. Well, thanks so much, Teresa. And glad we're able to provide this show for you. All right, folks. Well, that will wrap it up for today. Join us back here tomorrow as we continue on with the on Friday, we continue on with the Tears of Night matter. And tomorrow, join us for Nick Carter. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.